Helen Freeman will now come and share our morning scripture reading.
The scripture this morning is Luke 12, 16 through 32. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They never sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat, what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is for the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
So when we were going this week to be away, I thought, I don't really want to have to work on a sermon all week. I want to be open and experiencing what's happening. And then very quickly I realized that this week's lectionary gospel reading was one of the things we had had in a reading that we were given going to the wisdom school. So Cynthia Bourgeau, the person who we were learning from, had written about this gospel reading. So you're going to get Cynthia today, not Debbie, because I'm still digesting and integrating what I heard and learned. So this is pretty pure Cynthia Bourgeau. She titles it "The Problem with Hoarding." And she quotes two contemporary spiritual teachers. One is Raymond Panikkar. "I am one with my source insofar as I too act as a source by making all I have received flow again." And then from Michael Brown, "Giving is receiving, is the energetic frequency on which our universe is aligned. All other approaches to energy exchange immediately cause dissonance and disharmony in our life." Cynthia believes those two quotes capture much of the essence of Jesus's message. when the horizontal exchange and the vertical exchange are both flowing and in balance, she says, abundance is the natural state of affairs. Abundance surrounds us and sustains us like the air we breathe. And it's maintained in the same way, by that constant, steady breathing. Abundance, she says, is not really a noun. It's a verb. Abundance. A dynamic flow that engages you when you get out on the floor and start dancing. Start giving and receiving. So in Jesus' vision, the world is not random or indifferent. It has a heart. And it can be experienced directly as compassionate and generous. Survival of the fittest is not the bottom line. The dance floor has been designed to hold us all up. Since this point is so counterintuitive, Jesus had to keep hammering it in a lot. So many of his stories, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the loaves and fishes, the water turned into wine, so many of his actions are all about helping us see. It's not a question of adequate or barely enough. With Jesus, it's about fullness pressed down and running over. But the trick is, we have to be open and willing to receive. And having received it, we have to let it flow again. The problem, she says, is with constriction, with taking, hoarding, defending, clinging, holding on. Whenever we do those things, we become spiritually blind, and we can't see the abundance and generosity that's all around us. That's the point of this teaching. The landowner, the farmer, thought he's going to take maximum advantage of his bountiful harvest to ensure his future by storing it all up in bigger barns. But when that night his soul is required of him, he can't take it with him, can he? Jesus continues, so don't worry about your life, about what you're going to eat, or about your body, what you're going to wear, for life is so much more than food, and the body so much more than clothing. Think about the birds. They don't sow or reap. They don't have barns. They don't have 401ks, I might add. Yet God takes care of them. Think about the lilies and how they grow. They don't toil or spin, but even Solomon in all his glory was not as beautiful as a lily. Don't be afraid. It is your Father, your loving parents' good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So often, Cynthia says, we picture God as an Old Testament judge, stern and unforgiving, who must be placated by our good moral behavior, and even then is likely to be shaking his finger at us, ready to condemn. But Jesus' vision is of a loving, intimate parent who not only wants to provide for our every need, but takes joy and pleasure in doing so. This is a world in which mercy and exchange are joined at the hip. The dance of giving and receiving is literally the life blood of God flowing through the body of this world. And our responsibility is not to break the flow, but to be part of it. Not to hoard, not to hold on. And as Cynthia said in the lecture we heard, it's not just material things we're talking about here. The ego, she says, is the ultimate hoarder. We hoard our titles, our understandings, our principles, our ideologies, our self-justifications, our resentments and angers, the hurts that we don't want to let go of. But as we can learn to live openly, fluidly, generously, leaning into divine abundance, we participate in making manifest the mercy and goodness of God, which saturates our planet with meaning and draws all things together in a single dynamic web of belonging. This is the human alchemy we are put here to perform. Fear so often clouds our eyes. It clouds the eye of our heart. She says, so often we're like folks standing knee-deep in a river screaming piteously for water. What an image. But for Jesus, the secret he's trying to show us is just we have to let go. We have to participate in the flow. And whenever we cling or constrict or hold on, we block it. And then we become blind and we cannot see and experience the goodness that is here for us. She also says, it's like letting go. And she referenced learning to float. When you have to trust the water to float, and as long as you're tight, you can't. And the connection I made was to baptizing James and Christian last month. And how I said to them, and I think I said to Amy when I baptized her a little earlier, there's this moment in baptism, the way we Baptists do it, where you just got to let go. You got to trust the person baptizing in the water to receive you. And the more you tense up, the harder it's going to be to get baptized. I love that that's part of our tradition, that letting go in the act of baptism by immersion. Cynthia went on to say, to make this journey, we have to step across the chasm of our fear. And I pictured that river I forded on our vacation in Tallulah Gorge, and the water rushing and that boulder there. And the only way to get there was to throw my weight forward and grab the rock and take the risk of falling in. We have to cross the chasm of our fear, even though it looks like death. And I thought of baptism again, dying to self, dying in order to live again. Giving is receiving. Letting go is to be filled.